Morning, Prayer Warriors. Hey, Mark here. I'm so glad to be with you today. Let's just kind of open up a quick word of prayer. And you know, when we open with a quick word of prayer, it's help settle me as well. So I hope it settles you and kind of, you know, we can kind of open our hearts for just a few moments, and a few minutes just to listen to God and talk about God. Dear Lord, we just praise your name. We just give thanks in all you do. Just be with us these few moments, these few minutes. Hear our prayers. Let us just build this relationship we have with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so we're kind of taking a look at David and some of his amazing prayers in the book of Psalms. He's got a number of them, you know, out of 150 Psalms. You know, he wrote over 70 of them, and a number of them are just these amazing prayers in his life at different stages of his life. And, you know, most of us know the story of David all the way until the time that, you know, he died. He had some great times up on the top of the mountain and some really tough times down there in those valleys. And so we're taking a look at some of those that, you know, a lot of those times in the valleys, because we can relate. I can certainly relate to David in my life. So what I want to do is last week we took a look at Psalm 25 and a couple of key takeaways from Psalm 25. David is crying out to God. He's talking about his struggles. He's talking about his sin. However, he trusts in God, he prays, and he asks for forgiveness. So really the three takeaways from that Psalm 25, and David, pray, fear, and trust. Pray, fear, and trust. And that kind of brings us to this week's Psalm that we want to take a quick look at, and that's Psalm 86. So Psalm 86 is really, and it wasn't until just a few minutes ago coming in, God gave me a whole new perspective on this psalm. It was kind of interesting as we take a look at just verse 1. And we don't know when David wrote this one. Obviously, it was a time of distress. It could have been the same time he wrote Psalm 25. We know Psalm 25 was kind of later in his life. And he's being pursued by the bad guys, and we kind of think that that's about the same time that maybe Psalm 86 was written as well, because he starts off, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me." So it's a time of stress, distress. The unique thing about this opening verse, though, is "O Lord, O Lord," and it's Adonai. Adonai. And that means, you know, it's this special relationship. It's absolute relationship. It's lordship. It's not like Yahweh, O Lord. This is Adonai, O Lord. And it's this relationship that he has, and it's this absolute relationship he has with him. And I pray that is our relationship with God. It's an absolute relationship, and we'll see some of this throughout this psalm. And it's really, so we take a look at that total love, that total relationship. It shows what we have with a spouse. Sometimes, you know, let's say Jesus just walked in right now. You know, on some days, we may or may not pray, but if Jesus walked in right now, what would you do? Probably, one, be in total shock. Number two, you'd probably just give him a hug and then you just fall at his feet. Just that total commitment. And that's what David is showing here, this total commitment to Adonai. Oh, Lord. And he says, "For I am poor and needy," you know, and not so much as poor dollar-wise. He may be dollar-wise or shekel-wise. But I'm poor in spirit. I'm needing your love. And really, he is truly pouring his heart out. And I pray that that's what we can do, whether we're at the top of the mountain or down in those crummy valleys with all the briars and thorns and stickers. And he says, "Preserve my life. Preserve my life." You know, it's like, save me. I'm surrounded by the bad guys. And here's a kind of a unique thing is he says, "For I am holy." And I always struggled with this term, you know, I am a holy man. And in this case, if you really study it, for I am holy, it means it's I am connected to you. I am connected to God. I am connected, for I am holy. It's this special relationship. Remember, we've got, O Lord, Adonai, which he uses seven times in this psalm. Seven times he is just talking about his connection, his holiness, this commitment. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful. And so we see love and mercy, and that's that connectedness that he has. He's asking for something because he understands who he is. And I hope that we pray for mercy, because sometimes we don't want what we really should get. We need mercy in our lives. We need mercy because of our sin. And he says, rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, again, I lift my soul up, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy once again to all those who call upon you. It doesn't say to the good guys or the bad guys or to some. It says an abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Not the other guys around him, not the other people in this horizontal relationships that we have. For you, this vertical relationship. It's we have to depend upon God for that love in our time of need and any other time. And we drop down to 8. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. We have to remember what time this is in David's life. You know, we've saw it back previous to this. You know, they're worshiping Baal and all of these other gods out there. David specifically knows and understands there is one God, his God, our God. There is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. So this whole thing changes. We see this subtle change between, listen to me, O Lord, and now he's talking about how amazing God is. For you are great and do wondrous things, for you alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart. I will praise you, O Lord. Dropping down to 13, for great is your mercy toward me. Once again, that mercy, this love and mercy that he's talking about and just praising God, for he is the one God. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. And I pray that that is what we do today. Is we pray to deliver us from our sins, our sinful nature. And, oh God, the proud have risen against me, and mobs of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. So these violent men around him, they're turning to one another as opposed to this vertical relationship we continually discuss, this one-on-one with God. Dropping down to 16, oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. He's talking about his mother, you know, his maidservant. There in 1 and 2 Samuel, we don't know a whole lot about David's mom, although, you know, here he's holding her up. And then those last verse, we drop down to 17, show me a sign. Well, you know, I've always been a little bit off when it comes to signs and things like that. However, when we talk about signs from God, it's mercy, it's wonder, it's splendor. Those are the signs we look for, and we look for mercy. We look for forgiveness, that those who hate me may see me and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So would you take away two things today? God's love and his mercy. I just pray for you this week, brothers and sisters, all those prayer warriors out there. Have an amazing week.